going down, ladies and gentlemen? Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Black Seinfeld, guys. This is the show about absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
I go by the name of Psyche. Good morning.
I go by Bastianus.
And once again, we want to thank you all for tuning in early, 5 o'clock in the morning on this Wednesday. It's very foggy outside right now. The New York weather is very lovely this past couple of days in April.
It's bad hair weather.
It is very bad hair weather. It's also been snowing. And now it's going to be 61 degrees today.
Equally bad hair weather.
It's been very inconsistent, and I'm not happy with that.
Sorry, I just put on your mic.
Oh, wow.
My bad. They can hear you now.
Okay, it's been very inconsistent, and I'm not that happy about that. Because I'm buying, like, spring clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to put all my winter stuff away, or half my winter stuff away.
Hey, man, there's a lot of sales.
Are you guys from New York?
Yes.
So you know the rules. My birthday happens to be May 6th, and I've learned that I'm wearing a coat on my birthday every year since I've lived here, and I've probably lived here about as long as you guys.
Yeah.
And it never really gets cold until, I always joke, it's like 2 weeks after my birthday, you can take your coat off. And without failure, by the end of May is when the first time we can really shed our coats. You're going to need some form of coat until the end of May.
She does have a point.
But
it's nothing new, kids. Like, when it gets cold in October, we're like, oh, my God. No, it happens every year, same time.
But we get used to it. So if it's, like, 55 degrees, we will walk outside with a hoodie. We don't need a jacket.
That's beautiful weather to us.
Yeah, 55 degrees. And like, yeah, it's perfect.
Were you outside today without a jacket?
This is all. I came in the hoodie. That's it.
I just came in this and the leather jacket. That was great.
Yeah. So I'm ready, but the weather isn't.
Well, that woman you hear, ladies and gentlemen, is Miss Black Entrepreneur, okay? She has done a lot of things within the media. Give it up for Miss Kirsten Magwood. Also, she has a show here on WBAI Thursday mornings from 6 to 8 called The Best of the Best Show, correct?
That's what it's called, The Best of the Best. We are the number one source for the underreported good news of the day.
Ugh.
Wow, that was volatile.
Also, we have intern Mike with us in the building. What's going on, Michael? How are you?
What's up, Black Seinfeld audience? How y'all doing?
It's good to have you all here.
Wait, I want to know why you're hating on the underreported good news of the day, Mr. Show About Nothing. That doesn't seem very reasonable.
I wasn't hating. It's just a joke. We like joking here.
You should beef with other
it
networks.
It sounded like light hateration. It sounded like light hateration.
There is no hateration, hot-eration.
Oh, good.
No one wins when the family feuds.
Not in this dancery.
No. Okay, but no one wins when the family feuds, you know?
That's true.
Shout out to Hova.
It's important.
Well, today is April 4th,
yeah.
2018. It is a very special day because this is the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. outside of the Lorraine Motel, Memphis, Tennessee.
It happened.
It did happen 50 years ago, might I add, again.
There's a documentary up on HBO.
Is it?
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to check it out yet. It just came out. Oh, but man. I think they're talking about like the later years when Martin Luther King moved to Michigan and like started working with like other groups besides the black activists.
I think that's why they killed Martin Luther King, because it stopped being about black and white and it started becoming about rich and poor.
Yeah. So, it's weird because that's the things Tupac talk about. Well, it's pretty interesting.
It is, man. You know what also, you know what they have in common? I feel like they both knew when they were going to die. Like, think about MLK's last speech, I've been to the mountaintop. He's like, I might not get there with you.
It's not last speech.
Yes, it is.
That's his last speech?
That was his last speech, dog. April 3rd. Come on, man. Come on, bro. You that tired still?
Nah, I just don't know. Oh, okay. You gotta understand. There's some things that's not true about like black youth. Like we don't know every Malcolm X speech. We don't know every Martin Luther King speech.
Did someone think that you guys knew any Malcolm X and Martin Luther King speeches?
Well, I know speeches, but I don't know date and time. I really don't.
Got it.
I mean,
I don't have them memorized on deck. Like I can't quote all of them.
True, but you know I mean, you should know the big ones. I Have a Dream. Of course.
I didn't know when that was. It was all right, cool. I know that one. Or we're forced to know that one.
Well, yeah, we are forced to know that one. Fair enough.
And
that's
there's
fair.
Much better ones besides that one.
True.
But that's like the most popular one.
Of course.
That's his hit single.
That was the hit single for sure.
That was hit single.
Facts. And of course, I always like to bring up the fact that, you know, I looked up to Martin Luther King. You know, he's one of the greats. However, you know what I'm saying? He does have some stains and blemishes. like his infidelity. Man was a pimp.
Wait. Being a pimp is not quite the same as being unfaithful. Neither one is a very good thing, but...
I mean, I don't blame him, though.
They're not the same.
I don't blame him. If I'm Martin Luther King Jr., I am the head of the civil rights movement. I expect some cat to be thrown my way. Yeah. I expect it.
Well, sure, but
do,
that
do you
I mean,
expect it?
I do.
Do you take everything that's thrown your way?
Not everything.
Don't you have an image to uphold for the people just in case you ever?
But also, he's a reverend. He's a Christian. He also says, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. God's he's probably going to sin again. Lord, forgive me. Things I don't understand. Sometimes I need to be alone.
You know, something interesting came up this evening. I saw the Tennessee Coats play the world against the world in me. Is that what it's called? Yes. And one thing that came up, they were talking. There was a reference to Martin Luther King, and he said, "How come only our heroes have to be nonviolent?" Which I thought was a very interesting end question that's been on my head ever since he asked that question. Like, yeah, who else has nonviolent heroes but black people, and why?
Because if black people were violent, we would have been dead in a heartbeat. You don't think so?
If we were violent, we'd be dead in a heartbeat. I mean, violence has worked for other people in terms of conquering land and doing all kinds of stuff. When we even think about being violent, it's a different kind of problem. I think mostly because we'd probably prevail.
Yeah, that's actually why we have so much gun rights problems, because of how the Black Panther acted when they realized that you could carry around your own weapon. You could, like, watch... Anywhere.
Once black people execute open carry, things change, which why in the face of this gun control conversation, my advocacy is that if you really want gun control, you should go buy a black person. If you're a black person, you can buy a black person a gun. If you're a white person, you can buy a black person a gun. But you want to see gun change in America? Black people need to take up arms.
Good point, but I will say this. When black people... like the Black Panthers, did arm themselves with guns and were walking around their neighborhood with guns, J. Edgar Hoover made it his mission to stop it. And he rightfully, he did.
There would be gun control laws passed. That's my whole point. Meaning, if you'd like the laws change, if you empower a bunch of black people with their Second Amendment rights, I promise you we'll start really questioning the Second Amendment and things will change. I don't know if, listen, if once they shot up little children in Sandy Hook, I was like, y'all should have a bunch of white children and the law didn't change. I'm pretty sure nothing's going to do it. And I stand by that, the way that the Congress and the government has reacted to these incredible children who are out in the world creating change has been dismal and terrible. And it just shows that we have hope as a country and we have a future. But the present right now, it's pretty bad.
You know, it's interesting that you brought up March for Our Lives because I have a clip. You made a great segue. We'll be right back.
Renee King, granddaughter of Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott King. My grandfather had a dream that his four little children will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream that enough is enough. And that this should be a gun-free world, period. Will you please repeat these words after me? Spread the word!
Miss Yolanda Renee King for March of Our Lives. She's pretty young, but she's a great speaker already. It's in the genes, man. It runs in the family. It's insane. What are your thoughts on this, Kirsten?
I think it's great. I mean, I think the whole March for Our Lives movement is great. I think that it's bringing an awareness to a long overdue issue, and also hopefully making young people aware that change in this country and all over the world has always been their responsibility. You're waiting on adults to change things. Adults have responsibilities. Adults have baggage. Adults have all kinds of things they bring to the table.
Not to mention y'all are tired now.
Young people with hope and optimism have always affected change in culture. And so I think it's even funny that these adults are pushing back saying, oh, you guys are too young. It's like, hello. That's how everything changes in the world. That young people who are not jaded, who are not, you know, who actually believe in the possibility for change.
Yeah, they become their parents, I always like to say. You know, because when adults are, they're younger, they understand. They always do want some sort of change. They believe they can do whatever they want. But then when the reality of life sets in and they have bills and they have other cares to worry about, they're just not fun anymore.
Yeah, that's not
about fun. They just don't make those things, the dream space that comes with youth, the optimism that comes with youth, that is something sometimes that gets lost over time when people get jaded.
Yeah, they give up on their dreams, which is...
But there's a lot of adults who are also out there and who are supporting the march and who are
absolutely
empowering the dream of the young people. So I think it's a full court press. I did not make it to D.C. for March for Our Lives, which made me very sad, but I did make it to the Upper West Side for the march, and you know, it was a really nice mix of people, different races, different classes, different ethnicities. Just everyone was out there for the cause, and it was really lovely. And it was exciting for me seeing so many young people fired up.
That's true. Well, you did mention DC.
I'm from Washington, DC.
You are from DC.
That's where I'm from.
So I never had mumbo sauce. Okay.
Oh my God.
Please
mumbo
tell
sauce is live.
Please explain to the youth what mumbo sauce is.
Mumbo sauce is like, I guess if ketchup had a baby with crack, then it would be mumbo sauce. Because it has a tomato-based situation. It's in that family, but it has like a hot, a sweet and sourness to it. It's almost like a sweet and sour ketchup. I can't explain it. Mm. You really have to have mumbo sauce. Here's the crazy thing that's even more funny. Even though I'm from D.C., I don't even know how to make mumbo sauce. You just have to go to one of the fine establishments that make it. It's not something that, like, I make at home. There's restaurants that serve chicken and mumbo sauce. You go to those restaurants. Georgia Avenue, shout out to Howard University. Go down there. You go hit up any of those spots. You ask for chicken and mumbo sauce.
I'm hungry now.
Chicken and mumbo
sauce.
It's kind of
like special sauce at McDonald's. Like, you don't know what it is. Like, people don't make it at home. It's just their
special. What do they eat
sauce
it with besides chicken? Like, anything else? Or?
Shrimps?
I'm allergic to shrimp.
Oh.
So I personally only eat my mumbo sauce with chicken. You need some nice fried chicken for your mumbo sauce.
Interesting.
Yeah, because that's what I heard. A lot of people in D.C. like to get some carry out with some mumbo sauce.
Mumbo sauce and go-go music is life.
Yeah, tell me about the go-go music lifestyle over in D.C.
That's
in
the
DC.
Music I should have given you. You don't know about go-go?
No, I'm from New York. We know about hip-hop.
We know about trap music.
We know trap.
No, that's it. We only know trap.
I would say you jumped a whole bunch of states to get all the way to trap music without listening to go-go. You're probably a lot more familiar with go-go than you realize because there are some pop producers like Pharrell, like Timberland, like Missy, who hail from like the VA area, who are very, very go-go influenced. Rich Harrison, I don't know if he's still working. He did a lot of go-go-inspired work. Go-go is all about the drums and the horns. It's about live music, live instrumentation. It's a vibe. It's a movement. Godfather of go-go was Chuck Brown, rest in peace. But it is a movement that is still rocking on. And it brings not only the African traditions of drumming, but you know, the African tradition of the call and response are key and core to go-go music. It's a very special sound. I can't really describe it. You really have to come and experience go-go because more than a sound, it is a whole movement. Like, it's a way people move. It's a whole scene in D.C., and it's been going on since before my time.
Is it near the same as, like, New Orleans bounce?
No.
No?
I mean, go-go is heavy on the drums.
Okay.
And heavy on horns. It's not hip-hop related in that way. I'm not super familiar with bounce, though. Is bounce like trap?
No, it's nothing like it. The way you're describing go-go seems like New Orleans bounce because it relies on the horns and the drums.
So are you familiar with Nelly Hot in Here?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So Nelly Hot in Here is a famous go-go song called Bustin' Loose. That's the sample. Mm-hmm. So that like, bump, bump, bum, bum. It's like the, it's the, it's, I can't explain the drum. There's drums, there's horns involved.
Like that Puffy song, Finna Get Loose, that came out.
Finna Get Loose is definitely go-go.
What's your thoughts on the Pharrell song, Lemon? Right?
I love Lemon. It's not a go-go song. It's not a go-go tribute. But Finna Get Loose is definitely a go-go song.
That was
obviously
the
Doing
too.
The Butt is doing is a go-go song. Doing the Butt is a pure go-go song. Chuck Brown. No, Doing the Butt is EU. Experience Unlimited is the name of that group. Shout out to Sugar Bear. So go-go is a great sound. It's funny, you offered me to pick a song. If I had known that you were not go-go familiar, I would have probably picked a go-go song.
Yeah, you're teaching us some DC culture.
All right, you know what? We're going to play some go-go before the hour is over. And if we don't get a chance to play go-go today, you can definitely tune into the best of the best. And I will promise that I will play some go-go music for the crew of Black Seinfeld, because you guys rock.
Oh, thank you.
You're not beefing yet.
DC, honestly, I grew up on go-go. Also, we have a really amazing punk rock scene in DC. I don't know if you've heard of Bad Brains, but the Bad...
Yeah, I know, Brad. I love Bad Brains.
Oh, that's so
awesome.
They're
my favorite punk band.
Mine, too. Oh, my God. More stuff we have in common. Oh, my God. I love you. That's great. Well, you didn't see all of them.
Not all of them. No, no. Yeah. It was Living Color, Bad Brains.
I saw it. I was there. But here's the thing. Like, Living Color without HR, I don't really... I mean, not Living Color. Bad Brains without HR, who is the lead singer, is I don't really know how that works. I mean, it was fine.
It was still fun. It was a good set.
I wish that they had Angelo from Fishbone take in for the lead, because that's my, that's really one of my, I mean, it's a close neck and neck between Bad Brains and Fishbone. It was my intention when I was a child. I was going to either marry Angelo from Fishbone or Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers wearing Doc Martens. And I was going to destroy my wedding dress in the ocean after the wedding. So this was a very specific thing. I had a very punk rock wedding planned. And unfortunately, things didn't really go as planned. But it's okay.
You going to Afropunk this year?
I just might. You know, the issue that I've had with Afropunk, which is a good time in Brooklyn every year, right?
It is.
Being a bit of a punk purist.
It's not that punk
anymore. I just want them to stop saying, calling it Afropunk. You know, I'm like, can you just call it the Brooklyn Soul Fest or something?
Yeah,
like,
so I've been telling
D'Angelo cannot head a punk rock festival, okay? You cannot have a VIP at a punk rock festival. I get what you guys are doing, and I think it's fantastic. I think it's fantastic to unite people around music that is not making the mainstream airwaves. However, everything that does not make the mainstream airways is not punk rock. Punk rock is a very specific sound based on discord, dissonance, and very sped up rhythms. So when you're just lumping all this stuff together, at some point in 20 years, kids are going to look back and be like, yeah, D'Angelo, that's punk rock. And I'm like, no, that's not. And so it's interesting that the people who were systematically robbed of their identity and culture are doing the same thing to a genre of music. I find it interesting that Black people have taken up this helm of like, we're going to rewrite the history of punk rock through Afropunk. And so there's a part of me that loves Afropunk as this traveling music show of, you know, under sort of celebrated artists, and I'm here for it. It's the language around Afropunk that I find bothersome, especially because there are now no punk rock groups. It's not even like they used to feel like they had to keep a few punk rock acts in the fold just so the thing makes sense. Now you got like SZA, Erykah Badu. I'm like, word. As much as I love these people, they have nothing to do with punk rock.
Yeah, I was telling Gio that like the last time, like before when Afropunk was free, it was fine, in my opinion. It was fine. Like, whoever you invite on stage is cool. Mm-hmm. But the last year I, like, really wanted – I really went for both days was when Lauryn Hill was there. And Lauryn Hill was playing the same time as Death Grips. And I was like, Lauryn Hill isn't punk. Like, the closest thing to punk is Death Grips. So I'm going to stay for Death Grips and leave right after.
Right.
So that was when it came to, like, oh, all right.
See, my
Afropunk is just not Afropunk and what it wanted to be. Like, whoever's, like, organizing it now, especially Afropunk Atlanta and Afropunk New York and I forgot the other location.
Paris.
It's just not the same. I don't know. They're just making money. Again, it's a festival.
Exactly. And so as a punk rock kid who had, like, Mohawk and went to Bad Rain shows at 930 Club when it was actually on 930 F Street, shout out to D.C., I guess the whole thing that it's evolved into from a cultural perspective is bothersome. But again, I love the idea of the festival. I love the idea of bringing together these sort of under-celebrated artists who are doing incredible work. And I love, like, the last time I really was in love with Afropunk was when they had, you know, Grace Jones headlines. Grace Jones,
yeah,
to me.
That was the same year you went, right, Bash?
Yeah.
Grace Jones
to me is luxury punk rock. If there could ever be such a thing, she's this sort of like anomaly, this sort of like very incredible artist who absolutely represented punk rock in terms of the unapologeticness, the in-your-faceness, even sometimes the speed of her music, but her sound was influenced by other things, but her stylings are all punk. So that was the last time I was exceedingly impressed with Afropunk. I do not think she's headlining this year.
She's not. Erykah Badu is.
Right. Who I love. And here's the thing. I obsessively love Erykah Badu. I have no idea what Erykah Badu has to do with punk rock. Though she actually is probably more punk rock than some R&B people, because she really, as she has evolved and aged like fine wine, has zero F's to give. So
which
she does embody the spirit, right. Yeah. Of punk rock with how little F's she has to give at all times. However, there is nothing sonically sonically punk rock about Erykah Badu. I would just rather see Erykah Badu at the Highline or at a jazz show. I don't want to go outside and see Erykah Badu in something called punk rock.
So they should just change the name to like Afro Festival, because it's fun to see so many black people at.
It's
like,
fun. It's totally fun to see so many black people
right
gather.
In the projects. It's always a good time.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Afropunk After Dark. I have
never gone.
You should. Here's the funny thing. I've actually worked Afropunk After Dark for the past few years, and it made it seem reasonable to come to Afropunk. Mm-hmm. However, the other issue I have with Afropunk is too the way that they have hoarded people. There's selling a lot of tickets. There's too many people.
Oh,
and the flow
it's interesting
of
that
the flow
that,
of humans in that park
because
is it's actually scary. And so when you ask, "Am I going to go?" Probably not, because I don't like crowds.
It's
and
wait,
they
it's
have
too much. There's too much people in that.
You
park?
Know, I will say that. I will say
what?
This. Last
no, yeah.
year, it was insane, Bash, because
was insane.
It was headlined by Solange and SZA, right? So Saturday, it was insanely packed, right?
Yeah.
But Sunday, when Rafael Sadiq was the headliner, it was way more chill. It was so chill. But I also did receive a email from Afropunk saying that they're going to limit their ticket sales this year because of that crazy influx of people that
were
it
was
there
too much. I mean,
year.
I don't.
It was insane.
I felt like I don't like feeling unsafe in crowds. I don't think they anticipated the crowd they had, and they did not have the support to herd that crowd. It was just more people than they expected, and more people than I felt comfortable with. So
why they sell so many tickets then? That's what I'm trying
money.
To
say.
Because of Solange, bro. Money.
No, it's ridiculous. Now, like this year, it's like now they have to be more careful.
Right.
What
so,
to
which
do.
Is why I kind of want to go now, because they learned from that mistake. Because that was bad. It was bad. It was easy to lose someone.
When was the last
it was
time
easy
I went
to lose
with
your
you?
Leg.
The last time you went with me was when we wanted to see Thundercats, so like 2016.
Okay, so it's like Thundercats, Shabazz Palace, and Tyler Creator played that day.
That's right. Oh, and you forgot Flying Lotus, too.
Flying Lotus.
Yeah that
and
was
the
good.
Internet.
Yeah.
That was wild.
Day. He was drunk that night. You could tell.
Oh, yeah. You went to go see Fly Low right after Tyler.
Because
but,
I see him every year.
Right. So. But I think I saw some of him, and then I just dipped out because shouts out to Donnell. He was dehydrated, which is very common at festivals.
Yeah, they ran out of water. They ran out of food. They ran out of a lot of things.
They ran out of coconut
I feel like
water.
Most people
I did
don't
buy
know
some
how
cute
to,
sunglasses, though.
I feel like most people don't know how to survive the festival.
They don't.
You just have to drink water throughout the day.
Very
you,
true.
You could do well with just two bottles on yourself.
And if you do partake in some
really
activity,
yeah.
always stay hydrated if you participate.
Don't eat
in.
Salty chicken. Don't eat the chicken.
No, I'm saying if you participate in some recreational activity, please drink a lot of water and sit down. Because it does. This is Afropunk. People.
No, it's not just Afropunk. It's about
festivals.
It's like, don't eat salty food at festivals. You get tired really fast.
It's okay.
But I will say this about the lineup and the artists. They're not punk music, but I feel like a lot of them capture the envision of what punk is, which is very DIY culture. You know what I mean? Starting from the bottom, now we hear. Look at Tyler, the Creator.
So,
he embellishes punk to me.
So
he's a band of misfits. He's a misfit. You know
and
what
so
I mean?
When you see, what's the little Gucci Gang kid's name?
Lil Pump.
Lil Pump?
Right. So, I mean, he's a child. He's a minor. I can call a child a child, right? Okay, cool. He needs to take
some respect on his name.
I have no respect to point his name. He needs to be out there marching for his life and the rest of ours while he's shooting guns from the wrong side, trying to get black people arrested, fool. Anyway.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Lil Pump.
House arrest.
Wait, he is?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys missed this news? So basically, yeah, while he was on house arrest, he tried to claim that some black people broke into his house and robbed him.
Oh, yeah.
So he shot the door. But he shot the door from inside, so when the cops came, they're like, well, obviously you're lying because the gunshots came from inside, you idiot. And
succeed.
Yeah, right, but he gave the good America go-to. It's like, oh, some black people came and did it.
That's
so
true.
Right, so as we were like talking about, I forgot, I got let's go left turn here. In terms of someone having a punk rock aesthetic, well, he has a hip-hop aesthetic. Does that make him hip-hop? Does that make him a true representative of the culture? Is that what you want to see because he has the look? Come on, man. Punk rock is not a look any more than hip-hop is a look. People can put on a look, but what does that have to do with them affecting and relating to a culture? And I think actually that's more of the problem, is that now a generation thinks punk rock is about having funny colored hair. They don't understand the political resonance. They don't understand the sonic dissonance that are core to shaping that genre of music, because everyone's been confused by Afropunk. And this actually is indicative of the problem of Afropunk. Again, even though I've enjoyed watching it blossom, shout out to James Spooner and his movie Afropunk that started this thing called Afropunk, who was very true to the culture. You brought up the days back in the day when it was free and it was outside, and you used to see the black heavy metal bands come out there and rock out in the spirit of black rock. My whole thing is like, look, let's not even... I won't even split hairs if you bring me black rock bands, right? Like, give me some black rock bands. Not all rock and roll is punk rock, so let's be clear about that. There's a difference between punk rock, speed metal, you know, pop rock. I mean, that's a whole other thing. But at least if we were at least that true to the situation, because one thing I think that's core to punk rock and core to where I come from is young people playing musical instruments. That's something that happened in punk rock. That's something that definitely happens in go-go, and something that is completely missing once you leave that zone. Like, New York kids, like, turntables and a microphone, a guitar, what? Maybe a drum set? Maybe. But I think that's an important loss as we evolve Afropunk, to just say, well, Afropunk, you know, she's got a punkish attitude. Like, you know, she's got, like, some little thunderball earrings, or, like, her hair is blue. Like, that's not what it's about, y'all.
That's a good hot take.
No, I think straight facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're using that for Instagram.
Yeah, definitely.
What's that?
What's Instagram?
No.
Oh, so Instagram
Smarty
is
pants.
It's this app,
I know.
Right, where
owned by Facebook.
Owned by Facebook, where you could take some pictures. They have
in
pictures.
Order to destroy
I
Snapchat.
Oh, yeah. Rest in peace to Snapchat. Rihanna pulled out, too, on Snapchat.
Yeah, that was gangster.
I mean, I have it, but I don't really...
You didn't listen to Rihanna. Rihanna told you to delete the Snapchat. Why are you still on Snapchat, Mikesy? Yeah.
His clout is high. Your clout, your clout.
The girls
is high.
Aren't at, the girls aren't there. Rihanna's like, she said, look, all the girls, look, her, nah, she took her milkshake and all her girls to the yard. She said, we ain't hanging out on Snapchat no more. But you can
talk
do
into the mic.
But you can do Snapchat ish stuff on.
That's why
on
said,
Instagram.
That's why it's meant to kill.
But the
Snapchat.
Stories on Instagram isn't as cool as the stories on Snapchat though.
Because it
I
helps
don't know who you follow.
Yeah, first.
Yeah.
I mean, like in terms of like the video, the way you record it is not as cool as Snapchat.
No, the what? Thing is, if you're on Snapchat, you could do like 1,000 videos in a day, and that kind of sucks. I mean, you know, saturating your clientele, like people that's watching your stuff. In order on Instagram, you could take your time. And you had to, like, put pictures at a time. So it's, like, more artsy, in my opinion. I think Instagram is better than Snapchat because you have more control over
it. I think Snapchat is trash for what they did to Rihanna. I think she had appropriate response. You ain't going to make no jokes about freaking punching me in the face. After you know I've been punched in the face. Really? You think that's funny?
Yeah, that's kind of that was a joke
in very poor taste. And then they immediately played the blame game like, it was an outside agency. I'm like, but you hired them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, as they tried to play the blame game and pass off the blame, Rihanna's like very disappointed, taking me and my crew elsewhere, and they lost in one day. I think $4 billion.
Correct.
All right, I'm getting rid of my Snapchat.
No, you're not.
Join the movement. March for your life.
No, you're not.
Look, march for your life. Get rid of Snapchat. Don't let people beat up black women. Don't endorse the abuse of black. Why is that funny? That's that's life.
It's not funny at all.
That's exactly what she had to say to them. Like, you think this is funny? You making jokes about punching me in the face? Yeah. Okay. Punch back. $4 billion. Deuces.
Yeah.
And on that note, Song of the Week this week is brought to you by Kristen Bagwood.
Yay!
Which is Sometimes It Snows in April, which is very appropriate.
It's my favorite artist. And his name is Prince. He is still with us, even though he is no longer with us. And he's absolutely correct. If you live in New York for the past 48 hours, in fact, it's going to come back on Saturday. It has snowed in April. It will snow in April. Because like I said earlier, y'all are going to take your coats off till May. After May the 6th anyway. Mark your calendars. My birthday, May 6th. Send gifts. Drop your coats. I'll have a drop your coat party maybe this year.
And on that note, we'll be right back. Black Seinfeld, show about nothing.
Tracy died soon after a long fought civil war. Just after I wiped away his last tear. I guess he's better off than he was before. Than the fools he left here. I used to cry for Tracy, cause he was my only friend. Those kind of cars don't pass you every day. Tracy, cause I want to see him again. But sometimes, sometimes life ain't always the way. Sometimes it snows in April. Sometimes I feel so bad, so bad. Sometimes I wish that life was never ending. And all good things they say never last. Springtime was always my favorite time of year. Time for lovers holding hands in the rain. Now springtime only reminds me of Tracy's tears. Always cry for love, never cry for pain. He used to say so strong, oh, afraid to die, unafraid of the death that left me hypnotized. No, staring at his picture, I realized.
And that was Sometimes It Snows in April.
Which you cut off before the chorus.
By one of the greatest of all time.
The GOAT.
The artist formerly known as Prince.
You know, not for nothing. As soon as Prince died, the world fell apart. I'm just pointing that out. No. I'm not saying he was
objective,
the glue that was holding
that's,
life together.
That's objective.
But things got really bad after he died.
Yeah,
you just
but,
things get really horrible. I thought it was personal, but it's not.
But
it's
the death of Michael Jackson, a lot of people know, remember where they were. The world stopped when Michael died.
Here's what I'm going to say for the death of Michael Jackson. The death of Michael Jackson, the funeral of Michael Jackson was the blackest thing that has ever happened on national television. Like,
very
you
beautiful.
Just never seen.
I remember that day,
but like, yes,
I do.
I remember that day.
We just went to church. Like, he just took everybody to church. Mariah sang, Whitney sang, everybody sang.
It was all day.
It was all day. It was like black church.
They
literally took you to black church. We gonna check in around 10 a.m. You might be able to go get some biscuits and chicken downstairs around 4.
It's crazy.
But you gonna be in this for the long haul.
I really do think. Did it end at 4? I really think it ended at 4.
It was like a marathon. It was fantastic. I really appreciated it's really a weird thing to appreciate, the funeral of Michael Jackson on TV.
His levels, like, you can't. Like,
the blackest moment ever.
Yeah. It was on every news network, which was crazy.
Usher performed.
Yeah.
It was quite a moment.
R.I.P. Michael.
R.I.P.
And Prince.
R.I.P. Prince. You know, he passed away in April. The song Sometimes It Snows in April was actually written on the day, April 21st, that he passed away. Wendy and Lisa, who are in his band, they wrote that song that day, and they were performing it at B.B. King's, and they noted that the song Sometimes It Snows in April was written the day that he passed, so...
Interesting.
On that note, we're still on music.
Yes.
There's a lot of music that came out.
A lot of singles.
There's a lot of what's your favorite thing? What's your favorite song out right now?
Right now, I gotta give it up to The Weeknd for Call Me By My Name.
Oh, I'm in that Stir Fry.
Oh, with Migos?
Yeah, I'm with the Stir Fry.
Because of Pharrell, I feel.
Well, my favorite song right now.
It's got that go-go feeling, that dun 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 dun. It does, it's very Pharrell.
Okay. My favorite song at the moment right now is Tyler, the Creator, Okra.
Man, tell them why okra is your favorite song right now.
I hate okra the food, though.
Oh, I love okra.
Love okra.
It's spicy.
We
can fry that up.
Great. If we go out to dinner, I'll slide you my okra. I don't like slimy.
All right, well, for me, thank you.
There we go.
Well, I think it depends how you make it. Mine's like fried.
It's still slimy, no.
So, Okra by Tyler, Creator. As he said, it was a throwaway track. But in this song, he kind of explains himself. It's like, this is the most bragging rights song he ever created, in my opinion, because he got nominated for a Grammy, and he feels that he's making the best sound he's making at the time
right now. Because
he's evolving. Flower Boy, he was able to present a full cohesive project that
very
everybody likes,
and
it was consistent throughout the whole thing. And this song, he kind of said some interesting bars, like,
come on, say the line that everyone wants.
No more OF.
No, not that.
Which one?
When he shouts out homeboy, where he shoots your shot.
Oh, that's not important to me.
It is to me.
Anyway,
what is OF?
Odd Future
Wolfgang, Kill 'Em All.
Oh, because at one point in time, it was the biggest thing in 2011,
2012.
Then it kind of ended because, like I was saying before, I was telling my friends, they started this when they were 16, 17, 18.
Right.
They're all adults now. They're all 24, 25, 26. Things have changed within those 10 years, eight, 10 years. Mm-hmm. And they're all not the same people they used to be.
That's
so
true. I feel like that needed to happen because Tyler needed that to grow.
Yeah. Like,
think about it. The 19-year-old Tyler, and how old is he now? Like 26, 27?
Yeah. They're two different people.
Two different people.
He's really grown up.
19-year-old Tyler was this big troll who talked about raping women and sodomizing children.
And
now,
fighting his dad.
Exactly. And now new Tyler, he's very much happy now with this life. And he came out the closet and he incorporates a lot of his jazz influence in his tracks. He's making a lot of ballads.
Are you saying he's an openly homosexual rapper?
No.
Bisexual.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isn't being bisexual being part of the gay community?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to be clear.
Well, yeah. It's it's the LGBTQ community.
LGBTQ.
Right?
I think there's like a
T+.
There's something
it's
else.
Much
what is
longer.
The what's
I
the yeah, anyway.
It's much longer.
Well, that's great. I'm glad that, but that's interesting that we have more artists who are out of the closet. I guess it's so interesting because in my understandings of music, I've always assumed that there was a heavy gay community in, like, just like there's a gay community in New York, there's a gay community in music.
Absolutely.
So I've always thought it was an interesting that they were in the closet, because I'm like, if you can't be out the closet as an artist, then where on earth can you be out the closet?
But hip-hop, you know, hip-hop, yeah. there's definitely gay people within the hip-hop community.
There is growth now,
but back in the day, it's easy to say that it's very misogynistic. It still can be, and it was very homophobic, as well as reggae music.
So what was the time of popularity Young Thug was popping?
Young Thug was popping in, like, 2014.
2014.
When did Lifestyle come out? 2014?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2014.
So you could say that hip-hop...
He was calling dudes like his boo, yeah. Bae. Yeah, everybody was like, whoa.
Exactly.
Pause, son.
But now in 2017, 2018, it's like, it's more acceptable.
Especially if they really like the artist.
So there's been a big growth of hip-hop, like, within, like... since 2014, because I like to point out.
So you're saying hip hop has now grown up and care of Young Thug. Young Thug is the gentleman who he wore a dress on his album cover. Yeah.
Jeffrey.
Because, you know what's funny? He was in front of. I went to see Kanye at the Garden. I knew who he was, like, vaguely. I know his sound, but I didn't know who he was. But we were standing next to each other at the thing. So someone's like, "Oh, you were standing next to Young Thug," and I looked at the picture. I was like, "Is that who the guy was next to me?" I knew the one guy was.
You're like, who the hell is Young Thug?
He's tall, right?
He was just tall. He was just a tall guy. There was a whole bunch of people standing around in this moment, and there was what is the gentleman's name who I do like? Oh my gosh, Hair Weave Killer. What is Hair Weave Killer's name?
Hair Weave Killer.
Stop playing. Y'all know who Hair Weave Killer is. Come on, Hair Weave 2 Chainz.
Why are you calling him Hair Weave
That's
Killer?
That's his Instagram handle, y'all. Look, y'all was trying to put me up on the Instagram game. I thought you would know his Instagram handle.
I don't follow him on Instagram.
Okay. I mean, he's talking to y'all. He ain't talking to me, so I thought he might follow him on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. You don't like 2 Chainz that much.
I do like... I mean, I like him enough.
Nah. Talk about the story.
What story?
About how you were at Fashion Week and you were sitting next to 2 Chainz.
Wait, that was just what I was just saying. It was the Kanye West. Kanye had a concert.
Okay.
Kanye at one point...
Well, you mean the Life of Pablo thing?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, the Life of Pablo debut at Madison Square Garden.
You were there?
Yeah.
Really?
I was
watching that at the movie theater.
There it is. So I was there at the Garden. Shout out to Team Good Music for always looking out. I directed the open for Kanye West concert a while ago, and Team Kanye is always very good to me. So they were coming to town doing this big thing. They slid me some tickets, and I slid in there. But yes, I was standing next to Hair Weave Killer, who my friend wanted to take a picture with. So I was like, yeah, I'll take a picture of you. And he's like, you want a picture with me? And I was like... No, because I don't. I just don't like taking pictures personally. So, like, through the whole rest of the evening, he would, like, hit me every now and again, like, you want a picture? I was like, I really don't want a picture. So, finally, he took his phone and took a picture of us. And I was like, okay. I thought it was pretty funny. I just don't like pictures. Even with my friends. Definitely not with strange people I don't know just because they're famous.
I'm offended from that story.
Why are you offended?
Why?
Oh, come on, it's 2 Chainz.
Should I have taken a picture with 2 Chainz? I mean, he has the picture. He took the picture finally. Because he decided, I needed a 2 Chainz picture, whether or not I wanted one. So I was like,
he was like one of the few rappers that was like, he's lyrically could give you more than other rappers. Like more content, more words.
Yeah,
you
know, he can.
More words. I think it's really important.
He could actually
I think
that's
so here's the funny thing. Shout out, I'm not mad at 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz isn't actually from the previous era of hip hop. He was in a group.
Play a circle.
Play a circle. Duffel bag.
Yeah, again.
That is like the worst version of Duffel Bag Web.
I'm trying to be Lil Wayne.
It was pretty bad.
Duffel Bag, man, hater. Right into the Taliban. Come on, y'all. I didn't even know what song it was for a second. I was like, what are they singing?
Duffel Bag Boy.
It's called Duffel Bag Man. It's not Duffel Bag
Boy.
Nah,
it's Duffel Bag Boy.
It's just like a duffel bag, man. Right up to the Taliban. Were you on T.I. song?
No, that's another song.
We're talking about different... Okay. Yeah, sorry.
It's all about different...
Play a circle, duffel bag.
Same words.
Whatever.
There were one-hit wonders back then.
Well, I don't know if there was one-hit wonders. I think that's like the only song that our generation knows.
It was like, it doesn't travel to the east, remember? That's kind of how it works.
That's true. Good point.
Shout out to DTP.
DTP. Oh, here's another album that came out I want to talk about. MF Doom and Czarface. Let's get into this, Bastion. MF Doom and Czarface, what did you think about it initially?
Well,
be honest.
As an MF Doom fan, I wasn't expecting much because he's been a bit lazy nowadays, especially lyrically.
And you gave him a lazy score.
I gave him a 7.
No, you did not.
No, I was talking. I wasn't really thinking.
No?
He just texts me at work, so I'm not I'm like talking to
you
people.
You gave him a 6 at first?
No, I gave him an 8 at first. But then I was like, then I started thinking. Like,
no,
right, this is a 7.
No, that was right after I said, you are being too generous right
now.
It
doesn't matter.
Well, no, yes, it does
dude,
matter.
My initial score was because I was at work. When I really figured, like, finished thinking, like, all right, I'm going to give this album
What's
like,
the
fully
best
a
song
7.
On the album?
Of the last 2 tracks, in my opinion. Because that's when Doom was, like, rapping at his normal flow, where he was, like, really hitting the bars, in my opinion.
In my humble opinion, the best track off that album was...
Yeah, MF's Czar and Captain Brunch. Those are my favorite 2 tracks.
No, mine was Badness of Madness. I like that track a lot.
So as a
Badness of Madness.
As an old MF Doom fan, his you know, his best stuff is really between like the year 1998 to 2006. Everything after that is just like what's wrong? Like are you tired of rapping? Do you not making beats anymore? Because all his beats are extremely boring, especially when he started working with Bishop Naru. This kid could rap. Right. But he's been giving the most boring beats by MF Doom to rap on. It's like, come on, this MF Doom beat was created in 1993, and it's like, well, why are you giving it to him? All right, what's up?
And as a person who just knows of the name MF Doom,
I'm surprised. I was I should be more upset at you
why
for
you upset
not
at me?
Listening to MF Doom.
I was not I just know the name
MF Doom. Like
I just
huge.
Know the name.
Everything you just said, I agree with you.
Yeah,
I just like know the name.
Did
sorry,
his thing.
He did his thing.
He did his thing back then. It's just like, you know, this is light work now. I don't really care.
I just know the name.
If Mad Villain 2 ever comes out, I'm not really looking forward to that.
I know of Mad Villain. See, I know that album. I know Mad Villain. I know MF Doom. I just never listened to him.
You know, so you know Madlib.
I do know Madlib too. All yes, right, because right. Remember that show that Keyshawn has? They use Madlib track.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's yeah, true. But to me, in
all
my
caps.
In my introduction to MF Doom and Czarface, I thought it was very boring.
Yeah,
I thought
I don't know what you expected.
I thought whoever it was, he sounded a lot like Jay, a lot like Hov, a lot of the cadences, a lot of his rap flow. It was very early Jay, and I did not like that. And his raps got very boring. He talked about the same thing over and over.
He's
and
an old rapper. They're both old rappers. These rappers are over the age of 40.
Which means they have
really?
More topics to discuss.
Yeah,
so why would that be limiting?
They have
y'all
no
are,
topics
y'all are the,
to
no,
discuss.
No, no, no. Y'all are the generations if I'm going to say the same word over and over and over again and pretend it's a damn song.
I'm not upset.
We don't
He's
do that.
Upset. You're looking at the wrong
older,
person.
Older rappers have volumes of work. They don't have this problem of I'm just going to say Gucci Gang 25 times and y'all going to make this
no,
like, a hot
why I'm
song
upset is that it's just a boring song. It's just all right. My thing is they're not lyrically their flows aren't that great anymore.
They lyrically
it's
suck.
Like, yeah, and also their references are so up to date, it's boring.
It's not even up to date, it's just so predictable.
He made a Westworld reference. I was like, nah, that was whack.
He said I got the patch like a Nick
Westworld?
Fury.
No, it was just his reference to it was so corny. I was like, come on, there's way more things
to do. It's just
with
way
Westworld.
Too simple too.
Who
I remember
is this rapper here now?
Czarface
and MF Doom.
Yeah, they're not really my cup of tea, but I don't think you should blame it on the genre of MCs that they come from, because that genre of MCs is truly gifted and has the ability with the pen to continue on. It's just that people now don't want to hear anything. They just want to hear you say one word over and over and
that's
over again.
Not true.
Well,
that's not what we're complaining about. One complaint is that they're not as talented as they were during their prime. They're out of their prime.
Do you think the same thing about, for instance, we were talking about Run the Jewels. Do you think that those two, who are definitely old school
they're
rappers,
experimenting like crazy.
Listen to old Killer Mike's music, it sounds
completely different from Run the Jewels. It's on new LP beats, which is like vibrant and very loud and more brash. And they have more.
Well, he always
energy.
Had good beats. He came from the Dungeon Family. The Dungeon Family was never short on beats. They definitely were not sonically challenged.
But Killer Mike himself, like
the whole world. If I would have this conversation,
Dungeon beats. Yeah,
LP's cool, but I don't. I think it's a different sound he's playing with now. But I think that Killer Mike has always been a gifted MC. He represents the older generation of hip hop artists, and I think that if you're looking to hear something in terms of content, yeah. I don't know who else you're going to. You better hope Nas drops another album. If you waiting on Tyler, let me get started, please.
Nas, okay, no.
Oh gosh, Nas.
Are you guys anti Nas? I'm not.
We are so anti.
I'm not anti Nas, but I don't. Shouts
out to
Hov. Nas had his errors.
Jeez, Nas is so.
I like Nas. I like Hov. They're all talented.
The thing about Run the Jewels is their beats are up to date. If they're still making beats from 2003, it'll be very weird.
Well, I'd rather hear like Chuck D over a Migos beat than Migos over a Migos beat. How about
that? I wouldn't want to hear Chuck D over a Migos.
Like Stir Fry?
Shouts out to
Stir Fry. I like Pharrell, so yes, I like Stir Fry. I've already pledged my allegiance to the North to VA, but what I don't like is the fact that they don't say anything. Like, once I figure out what they're saying, I'm like, this is actually terrible. Meaning, I enjoyed the song because the beat was good. They were mumbling
that's
so
all,
much.
That's all it
I
is.
I didn't know
but
what they
but
were.
That's all it is. You're not supposed to listen to Migos for consciousness.
But
that's
they, not but I'm not asking for consciousness. Like, can you just tell, can you say something cohesive that makes sense? Can the beginning of the sentence match with the end of the sentence so this is actually a cohesive thought? I'm not necessarily asking you to inform me about politics, though I don't know why hip-hop is not rising to the occasion of the... To me, hip-hop is totally off-theme because they're not talking about what's...
No, it's mainstream hip-hop.
Okay, there we go.
What you may listen to on the radio is not what we listen to.
Okay, that's... I mean, I listen to a lot of things. What are you listening to that you find to be stimulating your mind and your soul in the genre of hip-hop?
Well, one very conscious but also very mainstream is one Young K-Dot, Kendrick Lamar, Top Dog, General.
I was talking about Shabazz Palaces.
Tyler, the Creator.
Tyler, the Creator is not...
He is very political now.
I have to give him another
album. Have you listened to Flyboy?
Why don't you give me another listen? You slide me the tracks. I'll give them a listen. I haven't listened to Tyler in a while. I was listening to him when he was killing off little girls and raping people, and I'm like, this is not interesting to me at all. It just wasn't interesting.
Storyline of a 16-year-old. That's what I tell people.
He was trolling, yeah.
It was really bad.
The biggest troll of them all back then.
Well, that's kind of like, that's the soundtrack to shooting up schools. You know what I mean? It was very in poor taste and in bad timing.
In 2011 most music was like that. It's like the energy, like the antsy 16-year-olds were able to blow up around that time.
I wasn't in mass listening to a 16-year-old,
so
I don't really know.
For me, like,
there was a whole other world of music going on.
I was very angry too. I remember listening to Bruno Mars.
Why y'all mad, son?
I remember listening to Charles Hamilton. Shout out to him.
I was listening to Bruno Mars one day. My brother's like, "Yo, you like that song?" I'm like, "Yeah, I like this song." And then he showed me Yonkers, and he talked about stabbing Bruno Mars, and I was like, wow.
That's great.
I like this guy.
It's a different energy in 2011. That's what I tell people.
Of course, another conscious rapper. Your favorite, J. Cole, Jermaine. You love Jermaine, don't you?
I enjoy J. Cole. I like Kendrick. I like J. Cole.
You like Joey Badass?
I don't know his music that much. I do love Drake all day.
What about?
I'm here for Drake. Drake all day.
Passion God's plan. I'm sure you love the God's plan video.
Drake is very political.
I love the God's plan story. God's plan is not my favorite song on the album, but I do think that what he did in terms of going out into a community to uplift the community is God's work and God's plan. So I shout out to Drake.
That was a very Drake video, by the way.
Drake is a very good human, and I
Drake
think it's
is
so
very
funny.
Drake,
yeah, people like always chastise Drake for like being a good person. I'm like, that's not your great. He's so nice. He's such a good goody goody. Like, I like the goody goody team to win.
Because Drake sometimes.
But what does that mean? He's just multi talented. He's just an actor, a singer, and a rapper. He's just making a lot of money.
The actor part.
All of the
remove the actor part. He don't act that much anymore.
I mean,
Jimmy
doesn't
act anymore.
He can. Look,
Jimmy doesn't act anymore.
First of all.
He came out like 10
shouts
years
out to
ago.
Jimmy Brooks, man.
First of all,
you know, they are selling his jersey now.
Don't disrespect Aubrey. Don't disrespect Aubrey.
At the Lids locker
don't room. Disrespect Aubrey. All of that is to say, I think he's still a fine talent. He's continuing to push the envelope sonically of hip-hop. I like the way that the last album had like a very Afrobeat influence.
Yeah. You mean More Life? This man needs an identity. But anyways...
Who, Drake?
Drake.
Please.
Yeah, Aubrey. Please. First he wants to be Jamaican, then he wants to do R&B, then he wants to be African, then he wants to do grime.
But you can be all those things.
No, you can't, Drake.
Yes, you can.
Don't he doesn't to, do it
do
well.
Not, you will not put Drake in a box.
Do it well.
He did it all well. He made a ton of
he
money doing
do
it,
well.
And there's a lot of people who disagree.
All right, you know what? We're wrapping up the show. Kristen, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Where can people find you?
They can find me here on WBAI on Thursday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m. The best of the best. You're underrepresented good news.
Is there anything else you want to say, Bastion or Mike?
No, that's it.
Thanks for the opportunity.
All right.
Black Seinfeld. This is Black Seinfeld, the show about absolutely nothing. We'll see you again next week here at Wednesdays at 5 in the morning. Till then, peace.